cause is insecurity. Not sure why. Something I've been working on about 4 years now. That's my big goal. Insecurity, a lot of things. But if we can see what people are going through, I think it will help us out a lot.
So we're going
to do this lesson here. We'll see how technology works. Life is tough. I know Blake has the top 10 and other people have their own shit. I just have an infographic. And it's a timeline. This is from a real life perspective in terms of tough life. You have a list of people there, from Mark Cuban, who owns Dallas Mavericks, a multi-billionaire for a software company he owned and sold, who at 25 was a bartender at his own bar. All the way up to Ray, I'm not sure, if it's Brock, I'm not sure. From McDonald's. Until 52, he sold paper cups and milkshake mixers. And now we know how big McDonald's is today. So there's all in between. You've got Mary Kay, you've got Amy Lee, movie director, J.K. Rowling. She's 30, until 31, she's a single mom on welfare. I don't think she needs welfare anymore. Her books are kind of popular. I think the movies did pretty well, too. So you see what goes on. People have tough lives. We have tough lives. We have situations. Then we have people in the Bible, and this is not an exhaustive list, let me tell you. This is just quick, because one of my little bubbles this week has been, when am I going to get this done? Life is a little fuller now than it used to be, between a job where I actually have to work, and home, getting to hang out with Charlotte. We'll see how long she lasts before she falls asleep here. But these are some of the people who face tough times in the Bible. And I think you're going to see one common, I hope you see the common thread that happens throughout this. First, I'm going to start with Job, because I don't think we can do this without talking about Job. He was blessed in his life. Job 1:1, in the land of Uz, or Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright, and he feared God and shunned evil. So he had done all the right things, and he had lived a great life. But then, Satan laid down a challenge. If you read Job, you know he goes through all these trials and tribulations. But you go to Job 42, the end of the book. Verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. Pretty impressive. 12. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Nor in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them inheritance and all their brother. So you see, he had a tough life, did a tough stretch of life. And he was rewarded for his faith. It continues on. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. So Job died an old man and full of years. So here's a guy, he went through a horrific stretch in his life. His life was really tough. But he maintained faith and he moved on. Then we have Moses. Moses was born under duress from the beginning. Bad things were happening for him. He was found in the Nile, raised in Pharaoh's house. Pretty cushy place to live, I'd say, in Egypt. Pretty nice place. Then he killed an Egyptian and things just came off the rail there. In Exodus 2:15, you see, when Pharaoh heard of this, he tried to kill Moses. Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in Midian. So, again, trouble. This is trouble he kind of brought upon himself in terms of killing the Egyptian. So he goes off and he lives in exile until he gets the call. He didn't get the cell phone call. He got a pretty cool call here. And Moses then brought Jethro's father on the priest of Midian. He led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within the bush. I don't know about you, but if I see a bush on fire, I expect certain things, and this is not one of them. I don't expect to see the bush was on fire, but it did not burn up. Then in verse 4, when the Lord saw that he had not overlooked, God called him within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. If I see a tree, a bush on fire, I'm not expecting God's voice. I'm not expecting it to still be there. But hey, here's the phone call. This is basically God coming down to Moses saying, it's time. You You've lived the life you've lived. You've done the things you've done. You've lived in exile. It's now time to do your job. It's now time to go to save the Israelites. So, again, rough life. It's called upon to go do this. And of course, he argued and said he couldn't do it and all this other thing. God had a lot more faith in Moses than Moses had for us. And that's sometimes, a lot of times, that's a good thing. Some people have too much faith in themselves. He could have said, let's go. But Moses doubted himself. God had to give him. Then we have Joseph. Joseph was loved by his father more than others. Jacob liked to bestow gifts upon him. Gave him a nice coat. What did that do to the family? Caused a little friction. Joseph and his brothers had a little tough time there. So in Genesis 37, we see this. But they saw him in the distance. We're talking about Joseph here. And before he reached them, they plotted to kill him. What a loving family. There might be some issues in this family. They're plotting to kill their brother because he's been deemed more special by his father. So verse 19, they go on to say, here comes that dreamer. They said to each other, come on, let's kill him and throw him in one of these cisterns and say that a ferocious animal devoured him. Then we'll see what comes of his dreams. So Joseph, he's having these dreams. God's allowing him to interpret. And this is what his family thinks of. This is what his brothers think of. This is going to lead to a little tough stretch here for Joseph. He's sold into slavery. He's looked upon God with favor and rewarded for his faith. But then we get caught
in trouble. Going to cause problems in his life. So he has to go through that. And I've underlined the words and passages I want to talk about. We've got, but while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. Skip down to 23. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. And this led to him having success in the government in Egypt and help him save his family. So, again, trouble is in his life with that common theme there. God comes in, and they finally listen to God, and good things happen. Here's a quote I found. And at one point in this, I had information, we were going to talk a little bit about my family and the struggles we've had in the last year, and I feel like talking about that today. But this is kind of what I see. I see sometimes the strongest among us are the ones who smile through silent pain, cry behind closed doors, and fight battles nobody knows about. And that is where the bubbles from the video come in so handy. Because for the most part, if you looked at a lot of those people, they look like they're just going about their daily life. But in actuality, they have strife going on in their life because life is tough. And things happen to us, to each of us, each day. And things that we can't control, things that we can control, reactions we can have to that. And we'll talk about that in just a little bit. So life is tough, but we do have help in our walk. And that's something that's hard to remember sometimes because we get so caught up in ourselves, we're worried about ourselves that we forget if we have do this, that we have a source of help. 1 John 5:11 and 12, and this is a testimony. God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Whoever has the Son has life. Whoever does not have the Son of God does not have life. God makes it so easy for us. We just have to believe. We have to have the faith. We have to listen to what He says, read what He says, take His teachings, and go by them. But so much easier said than done. And I think this is a pretty accurate thing. Life doesn't get easier. You just get stronger. And the stronger we grow in our faith, the stronger we become in our life. We're still going to have tough times. We're still going to have issues we face, but we have somewhere to go that can help us out through God, through Jesus, through the members of this church, through our family. People who have faith can help us out in our daily struggles. Here's a quote, and I know this is not the first time Harry Potter's been quoted in a sermon from this church. But Becky saw this yesterday, and she thinks this is great, and Betsy has used this in her classroom when she had a classroom, and says, sometimes we must choose between what is right and what is easy. Wednesday night class, I had Yasmin and I had Keelan. We talked a little bit. We were talking about how, and this quote wasn't there at the time, but easy is just easy. And we talk about the little gadgets we carry in our pockets and the things we can do with the phones that, you know, they're so easy to do. And we have to make the right choice. And making that right choice is sometimes not the easy thing to do. And that is something we have to face. And when I say this, I say me too. Because this is, whenever I speak up here, it's always, usually I'm the center of what's going on. The life is hard came up a few weeks ago. It just hit me in the head about this is where I, next time I preach, this is where I want to go. Because life is hard. You know, I have a dad who's been sick. Got an uncle who's in jail for 2 life sentences. A grandmother who's in a nursing home, bouncing between a nursing home and a psych ward because of her actions. And my mom's at the center of all this. So I get the phone calls. And it's difficult for her because my mom got married at 19. She got married at 19 and moved out. So she and my dad have been married 44 years now. And that's her life. And she's known forever. She's 10 years younger than him. She's probably going to outlive him. But still, the thought of it, the fact that it's come close, has been tough for her. And that's what we're talking about here. Life is tough. And we have choices to make. These are closing thoughts. What are we doing to make the right choices? We face choices every day. Some of them are easy. Sometimes it's, do I get fries with that or not? Sometimes it's, do I go with these people or not? Do I read this book or not? Do I watch this movie or not, or this TV show? And I'm still trying to figure out the right choices. I still have to work on that to make those right choices. And I'm not always successful. But that's what we have to do. We have to think about, are we making the right choices? What are we doing to make those right choices? And are we getting stronger in our faith each day through those choices? Are we making the right choices that are, you know, do we sit there in the morning, and this is one of my biggest flaws in the morning is, Facebook seems to be more important than reading the Bible, catching up with the world. It's something I fight every day, and I keep making the wrong choice. Yesterday, during Bible Bowl, and I want to thank Becky and Dave for watching Charlie, because a lot of this came about during Bible Bowl yesterday. 20 questions, 25 questions at a time. But just going through and reading, it's like, why do I not do this every day? It's one of those moments you just want to slap yourself in the forehead or slap yourself in the face or something. It would be so much smarter to read the Bible every day as to get on my phone and look at Facebook. But how am I going to know what's going on in the world? You know, sometimes it's okay. We don't have to know everything about everybody's life. And then, who is there to help us make the right choice and get stronger? We surround ourselves, and I think here we surround ourselves with positive people, people who help us make the right choice. So when we go out there, do we surround ourselves with the people who help us make the right choice? And that's something that I think we have to deal with on a daily basis. It's something we all encounter different people. Jeff encounters people through where he works. Chris gets to meet people all over the place. I get to meet people who've been in trouble, more than likely. That's what assistant principals get to talk to. 90% of our time is spent with 10% of the population. And it's true. There's about 10% of them I get to see every day. But who are we dealing with every day to help us counteract those bad interactions? And that's really kind of where I want to go today, because I know life is hard for each of us in different ways. And it's something, if we had those bubbles above our head, people could better understand what we're going through. Why we may be more introverted today than normal, or we may be this or that. Why we come in a bad mood. And we think about that every night with our kids, every Sunday and Wednesday night with our kids. We pick them up. We don't know what's happened. We had a situation this week at Gallatin where a couple of football players missed practice. You know, it's a different week this week. They were off Monday and Tuesday. They missed Tuesday practice. They missed Tuesday's practice because one of them's brother's car was shot up by gang members. I mean, what are you going to do? The coaches get why he stayed, but he still had to face the ramifications of making that choice. Because we have a game population. Jim, welcome to Gallatin. We have a game population that's expanding. It's not a real good game. They're not very smart either, thank goodness. That our sheriff's deputy has been researching Facebook to find all the information about the gang members. And let me tell you, they tell you everything on Facebook, apparently. But those are the choices people face on a daily basis. Our kids have those face choices similar to that here. We face choices out in the world, and it's how we make those choices. It goes back to Dumbledore. Do we choose the right, or do we choose the easy? And that's about the... I never could come up with a closing statement for this, so that's where we're going to go. Do we choose right, or do we choose easy? So let's all stand, and we'll get our last song.
528.